Well, you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Struss, and today's episode is a special edition with video. And so if you're listening to the podcast, we want to invite you to make your way to charismanews.com to see the full-length video or on our Facebook page. Likewise, if you're watching the video online, make sure to subscribe, however you listen to podcasts, to the Charisma News Podcast, so you never miss an episode. We're excited about our episode today. Our guest has spent nearly two decades covering the Middle East and national security issues in depth. He's recently come on board with TBN to head up more of their news organization and has released two specials in the last month that I believe you're going to want to hear more about. He's here to speak to us right after this.
All around the world, poverty is stealing choices from kids. It's time to give those choices back. Introducing Chosen, World Vision's new invitation to sponsorship. For the first time, kids have the power to choose their own sponsors. Now the choice is theirs. The choice to take hold of their future, and even the choice to step into a life-changing relationship with you. Learn more at worldvision.org/chosen.
So we're back with the Charisma News Podcast, and today our guest is Eric Stackelbeck, and he's joined TBN and is an expert on things in the Middle East. He also recently just did a special on the rise of cancel culture. Eric, welcome to the podcast.
Jeff, it's great to be with you.
Well, thanks so much for making the time, and we know you're busy, so we appreciate the space. You know, I'd like to start off with something. First of all, you're a believer in Jesus, you're a follower of Christ. Do you feel like you were called into media in the same way that somebody might say they were called into missions or called into the pastorate?
I do, Jeff. In many ways, this is my mission field, journalism, the media realm. I absolutely feel I'm doing exactly what God Almighty put me on this earth to do. Now, I couldn't say that about 15, 20 years ago, and I only came to know the Lord personally in 2009. So I was fighting, I felt like, for a good portion of my life, fighting God's will for my life. But, you know, I always had a passion and interest through my father, really, in the Middle East, in Israel. I never thought it would be a career, but God had other plans. I actually started out in sports journalism many moons ago, a former basketball player, and started out in print, not in TV. About 2001, made the transition to the Middle East, covering all of the current events there. And most importantly, how it affects us here, what it means prophetically. And it's been a wild ride since then. It's been a real adventure that God has taken me on. But as you mentioned, Jeff, heading up TBN's brand new news division, and we've got some good things in store.
It's wonderful and exciting. And of course, here at Charisma, we are rooting you on as we're in this together. And as the body of Christ, we need to be sticking together during this time. Now, it's interesting that you said that you were started covering the Middle East and Israel, you said in 2001, but you said you didn't, is it right? You didn't become a Christian until 2009. Did I hear that right?
Isn't that interesting? You heard it right, Jeff. I did not give my life to the Lord fully until August 2009. And ironically enough, my very first trip to Israel, which occurred a few months prior, fall 2008, for me sealed the deal. I felt God spoke to my heart pretty powerfully when I was in his land, the land of Israel. And when I came home, I said, okay, God, I'm going to do it your way from now on and not my way. And that all started a few months later. I said, okay, I'm yours. I surrender and do with me what you will. And God has done exactly that.
Now, it's incredible and a great, great story, great testimony. There's such a spiritual aspect when it comes to covering news in the Middle East and in Israel. Did you see that your perspective changed once you received Christ than before, or was it similar?
It became even more intense. Uh-huh. And the main reason for that, Jeff, is because I never read the Bible for myself, believe it or not. Now, my dad knew the Lord, loved Israel. I was raised listening to my father talk about the Bible, but I never actually picked up the Bible for myself. Always loved Israel even before digging into the Word. To me, it's just common sense to support Israel, even if you're a secular person. Hey, it's the first line of defense, not only for the Middle East, but for the West. Israel's enemies are America's enemies, and so on. But once the Word came alive to me and I read about God's promises to Israel firsthand in his Word, that just intensified things for me, took it to a whole other level, without a doubt.
It's incredible. I want to get into, in just a moment, your special on Israel Under Fire. But before we do that, what's your take here? Israel just went over a massive government shift. They have a new prime minister. And yeah. What's your take on that situation?
Well, Jeff, I actually just returned from Israel a few days ago. I was there as this new government was sworn in the Knesset. I have interviewed the brand new prime minister of Israel, Naftali Bennett. Look, he's a guy who's definitely on the right. Some people say he's to the right of former prime minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He worked as chief of staff for Bibi. Then they had a falling out. Naftali Bennett has proven pretty strong on security issues. My issue with it, Jeff, is that this is a broad coalition. Eight different parties, including far left parties, right wing parties, even an Arab Islamist party, form this new government. Naftali Bennett might have the right ideas as prime minister, but what about his coalition? Will they try to block some of his initiatives? That's the big question here, Jeff. Will this coalition last, or will it break apart because there are so many competing ideologies? If it does, Benjamin Netanyahu is waiting in the wings. He now leads the opposition for the Likud party.
Well, he is, and he's already vowed to deconstruct the coalition. Do you think the coalition will hold?
Tough to say right now. On one hand, I say no. Jeff, I would say, look, too broad of a coalition. These guys can't get along. But on the other hand, interestingly enough, it reminds me a lot of the situation in the U.S. where we had this Never Trump movement. Yeah. This coalition is made up of folks who are anyone but Bibi. That is their take. That is what unites them. And they know if the coalition breaks apart, there's a good chance that their mortal enemy, Benjamin Netanyahu, may once again become prime minister. So that may hold them together, strange enough.
And it's incredible, you know, just watching the events the last few months, that Israel would undergo such a massive government shift coming right out of this, essentially a war with Hamas. Now, does that bring us to Israel Under Fire? What was the angle on the special that you did? What was your point in doing that special?
Yeah, we wanted to bring this conflict, this war, and Jeff, you rightly described it as a war. Look, 11 days of intense fighting last month. Hamas fired over 4,300 rockets at really every inch of Israel, Tel Aviv and beyond this time around. So this was indeed a war. What we wanted to do was bring it home for people here in the States and make it very real for them and tell them why they should care about what happens over there, thousands of miles away in the Middle East. So we spoke to a top representative for the Israel Defense Forces who gave us an on-the-ground report, the latest in the fighting and what the IDF was doing to stop Hamas and stop these rockets. Secondly, we talked to several Israeli ambassadors to the U.S. who are familiar to an American audience. They were based here in D.C. in the past. And we really got the inside story on the battle Israel is facing on the world stage. Not only the nuts and bolts, physical war, that kind of battle on the military field, but how Israel can win in the court of public opinion. We also talked to Senator Ted Cruz, who brought an American perspective and how the U.S. needs to stand steadfastly with its greatest ally in the U.S. Lastly, Joel Rosenberg, who Charisma viewers I'm sure know, best-selling author, editor-in-chief of All Israel News, he joined us to bring this spiritual perspective. And Jeff, he's based in Jerusalem, so I couldn't think of a better person. But we really brought it home for people. This is what's happening. This is why you should care. And why should we care? Ultimately, because number one, God Almighty says we should, the God of Israel. But second, hey, if the bad guys got their wishes and they wiped Israel off the map, we know that's not going to happen. But if it did, where are they coming next? They're not stopping at Israel. They have a bullseye on the back of the West and of the United States.
Yeah, it's just perplexing to think about this for those, even for Christians in America, as there seems to be a new left-wing Christian community that's anti-Israel. You know, without getting too political here, I was wondering, those that didn't like the former American U.S. president, when all the witches were getting together to pray against the president, it's kind of like, hey, here's a sign here, you know, that you know, of what's going on. And
that's right.
In the same way, you know, you have Iran and other terrorist groups. They see Israel as the little Satan. We're the big Satan. I mean, And so it seems like our enemies know, you know, whose team everybody's in. Why is this so confusing for people?
It shouldn't be, Jeff, and you make a great point. Look, we live in times of moral relativism. I think of the prophet Isaiah, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Those are the days we are living in right now. These are Bible times in 2021, without a doubt. And Israel, the chess pieces are moving on the board in the Middle East, and Israel is at the very center of God's plan. You rightly mentioned, especially the younger generation, I'm sad to say, they're all about social justice. And for them, that means taking the Palestinian side. Hey, when I think of social justice, Israel is the most, possibly the most diverse country in the world. Jeff, when you visit Israel, you see not only Jews of every shade, shape, and size, but Christians, Muslims, working, living together side by side. Talk about freedom of religion. Look, before Israel recaptured Jerusalem, its ancestral capital, in 1967, Jews and Christians could not worship freely in Jerusalem. So that gives you an idea. We want to talk about social justice. Hey, the Arabs who are polled, Arabs who live in Israel, time and time again, they say, we want to live under Israeli control, not under the control of the Palestinian Authority.
So it really is about messaging.
I think a big part of it is messaging. Interestingly enough, I'm not Jewish, but I'm one of the messengers in that sense, I guess you would say, Jeff, getting the truth out about Israel for the world. And Israel is getting better at the PR game. I think a lot of times in the past, it was so, Israel would say, look, we are so clearly in the right here. These people want to wipe us off the map, our enemies. We've extended our hand for peace time and time again. It's been slapped away. Why do we even have to make our case? It should be obvious to the world. But sadly, it's not. We live in days where common sense is not so common, and the case has to be made. I think a big difference maker, Jeff, I told you how, look, I came, gave my life to Jesus after being on the ground in Israel for the first time. That's a real game changer. If people could only get on the ground, this tiny nation, the size of the state of New Jersey, by the way, that's Israel's size. If people could see up close what Israel is facing and get a sense of the people of Israel, I think it would change a lot of perspectives.
Well, you just mentioned needing to return to common sense, and that might be a good segue into your second special that you did, The Rise of Cancel Culture. Yeah. Where it seems like it, in my household, my young teenage children say, they now call it uncommon sense, because it seems like it's eluding us more and more. Talk to us about the rise of cancel culture and why you decided to make that your second special after joining TBN.
Yeah, you know, I pitched this, Jeff. I said, we have to do this. It is becoming an all-consuming, all-encompassing cancel culture. Where do we begin? The best place to begin is with big tech. Look, the tech giants, whether it's Google, Facebook, Amazon, this is not conspiratorial. This is fact. Unlike any time in human history, these giants are able to control public opinion and what gets out there. I think we saw clearly during the election where the Hunter Biden story was buried. It was literally censored, the story about some of his hijinks by big tech. So that was really, I think, a wake-up call that, wow, this is getting out of control. I think it obviously intensified over the past few months. So we brought in a panel of experts to speak mainly. Honestly, Jeff, we want to focus on, okay, we know this is affecting things on the secular side. For instance, the Major League All-Star Game getting pulled from Georgia over a voting law that the left has painted as racist. But we wanted to focus on how this affects Christians. Jeff, they've come for Dr. Seuss. They're banning Dr. Seuss now. Is the Bible that far off? Think about it. The Bible is the most politically incorrect book in history. And things contained in God's word are not exactly music to the ears of the secular progressive left. It's a clash there. Talk about cancel culture. This is a culture clash between Judeo-Christian values, between the word of God, and between what is being espoused by the radical secular progressive left. We talked to Dennis Prager, who is obviously always eloquent on this, from PragerU. Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty, who does not bite his tongue, as you may know. Ben Carson, former HUD secretary. We had really an all-star cast. Several pastors. We had one pastor, Andy Arguez, who's great, based down in Atlanta, actually. His family is from Cuba. Can it happen here? What happened in Cuba? Could this become a totalitarian society? You better believe it, Ken. You know, Ronald Reagan talked about this how to maintain our freedom. We can't take this for granted. And to hear the perspective of someone who had firsthand experience under the Castro regime in Cuba was really an eye-opener. It began with censorship. It began with words. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, you know, just to try to tie this all together here in our last few minutes, we started off talking about Israel and how they had to really get shrewder in the PR game and how to get their messaging across. And you just mentioned something with the rise of cancel culture. You talked about politically correct and that the Bible is the most, non-politically correct book. But politically correct is really about approved speech, approved ideas. God approved? No. Government approved. Who's government? Whoever's in charge. And, you know, it seems like the church has been slow to kind of figure out these terms and how this is actually happening. You know, here at Charisma, our founder and CEO, he just wrote a book called God and Cancel Culture. It's getting released in September. So it's on the top of our radar because this is something we're all going to have to stand up to and against. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes we give more concern about appearing nice than we are appearing to be full of conviction of what, and that doesn't give us a license to be a jerk, but we do have to stand on the word. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you completely. The question is, Jeff, and we talked about in this cancel culture special on TBN, how do we as believers, as followers of Jesus, navigate this minefield of cancel culture, navigate big tech? And key point here, do not compromise the gospel. Do not compromise the word of God. Stand boldly for what we believe in. I think a lot of people right now are running scared, including from the pulpit. We can't do that.
You know, I just know we're getting short on time, but I remember probably about 10 years ago, I was at a conference and I heard a very well-known preacher reference a famous sermon that was given by Jonathan Edwards called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God.
Oh, yeah.
And at the conference, this well-known preacher said, I could never give that sermon. He had issue with the sermon. And I thought, you know what? I thank God Jonathan Edwards had the courage to give that sermon because it sparked a great awakening. And I'm just concerned that here in modern 2021 America, we as the church, we may be taking our cues more from the world and from the culture than what we realize. I'll give you the last word on that.
No, Jeff, you're exactly right. I think as believers, as followers of Jesus, if we walk the walk and if we shine the light of Christ, the world will be attracted to that. They'll say, what's different about these people? They'll become exasperated with the, frankly, godlessness that we see right now with the ultra secular culture. Because ultimately, Jeff, as you know, that's an empty culture. It leads to nowhere. But we have the truth. His name is the Lord Jesus. If we are bold, if we stand lovingly but firmly in our convictions, people will be drawn to us. I really believe that now more than ever. We need some Dietrich Bonhoeffer's, one of my heroes, who stood up in Nazi Germany and stood against tyranny. I'm not saying we're there right now, obviously, in the U.S., but hey, we need people to stand up for such a time as this.
It's exactly right. And Bonhoeffer's exhortation was that the church had to repent or the lampstand would be removed and we would lose our influence. And so this is the time to stand firm. And we're so thankful, Eric, for what you're doing at TBN. Tell us about how those that are listening or watching, how can they see you? How can they follow you? What's the best way to see what you're doing?
Yeah, I think WatchmanTV.com is a great place, Jeff, on YouTube. Our YouTube channel is growing every day, daily content on the Middle East, and also the Watchman TV show on TBN every Thursday night, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And then we're doing these one-hour specials, and I'm in a news anchor role as well every day doing news updates on TBN. We've got a lot of good stuff in store.
Amazing. Well, we thank God for what you're doing. And Eric, thank you so much for being on the show today, and we hope to have you back sometime soon.
Sounds great, Jeff. Thanks. God bless.
Hey, same to you. God bless.
You've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one daily news story well told. We want to encourage you to make sure to share the episode with friends and family. It's a great way to share encouraging news as well as spread the kingdom of God. And it's how the podcast grows as more listeners find value and find encouragement in the content that we are providing. I pray today's episode blessed you.